Lord, I do thank you for each one here, for the body of believers, moms and dads, boys and girls, young people, who are here this morning to come and break bread, to commune with you in a way that you have illustrated, demonstrating your love for us, breaking bread, communing with the Creator of the universe, the Savior and lover of our souls. We thank you, Father, for family who are visiting with us. And think of Emmanuel and Lydia, who are here visiting with Bill and Lily, and just wonderful time that they've been able to have together as a family. The surprise visit here with Walter coming to visit Heinrich and Lydia. And then for the Rafflers and the Giesbrechts to be able to celebrate together as they saw their son and daughter be united in marriage. It's been a beautiful weekend. Lord, we rejoice and we give thanks for each of these folks that we've mentioned here. We're also mindful, Lord, today of those who are away from us and some returning, Victor and Lydia, Alexander and Natalia, who are away in Germany. And I pray that you'd continue to be with the Nickel family and continue to comfort them, and particular for Victor as we get to see him when he gets back, bring them safely home. For Natalia and Alexander and their family as they're in Germany, we pray that you'd watch over them and bring them safely home as well. We pray for Paul and Anna, and thank you that they've been able to join us and serve at the camp, and want to simply serve you and honor you. And we know there's language barriers and the like, but we thank you, Lord, that you have been watching over them, and may you use their lives, Lord, to touch young people in our community. Thank you for Vitaly and Elaine. Pray that you'd watch over them as they too serve you and getting more understanding of your word and their heart and their burden for the folks in Germany, and pray that you'd undertake for them. Pray for Mike and Margaret as they'll be moving this coming week, and give them strength and joy as they anticipate relocating here. Keep them safe. Pray for John and Eva, John's family. Pray for John's mom and dad, and just pray that you would be their strength today. Pray for Jacob and Anna. And again, as they trust you and rest in you, may you calm their anxious hearts. Thank you that we can come and break bread in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 40 for a moment. It was 1987. I was sitting in chapel at Briarcrest Bible College. Just received a letter from some friends of ours who were facing challenges in the local church work. And I remember this great sense of being overwhelmed for the circumstances that they were facing, and being reminded of the love of God. And so I turned to Psalm 40 and I was reading it, and I began to weep. Because at that moment, I had this mixed emotion of, on the one hand, being overwhelmed with the burdens that others were carrying and feeling helpless apart from prayer, helpless in being able to answer their prayers, their burdens. We've been reading through 2 Corinthians, Renee and I, and we were reading 2 Corinthians 10 just the other day, and just listening to the things that Paul went through. And then he says, and I think it's chapter 10, verse 28, where it says, "And above all this, I have my concern for the churches." And we as elders of Faith Evangelical Bible Church carry a concern for you, a love for you. We have mixed emotions when we hear about some of the things that you face and see some of the trials that you're going through. We can't fix it, but we can pray. And we want you to be reassured that we are praying for you and we love you. And wish, of course, that there could be more that we could do, but the greater thing is that God knows all of this, and we're to rest in God. Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He's put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I were to declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And so God knows. And his thoughts for you and the burdens that you have, the cares that you have for your kids, your family, he sees. Beautiful, beautiful psalm. I don't have the time to read it all this morning. I'm going to focus a little later on the love of God. I want to share just a couple passages with you. And I want to give an opportunity for the men to participate this morning to maybe read a passage, share some thoughts, to lead us in a word of prayer, and to enjoy sweet fellowship together as the body of Christ.
Turn your Bible to Luke chapter 24, verse 13. Just read a story about how Jesus walked with these men after he had been raised from the dead. The same men that believed that he was a Christ. Luke 24, verse 13. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about the things which had taken place. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are these words that you're exchanging with one another as you're walking?" And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it was the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and they did not find his body. They came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them," this is Jesus saying to them, "O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself and all the scriptures. And they were approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he was going further. But they urged him, saying, "Stay with us, for it's getting towards evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, breaking it, and he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. Remember that 7 miles in the dark. And they found together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." And they began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. So they recognized this as something that Jesus had done. And when he did that for them, when they ate together, they recognized who he was, even though they probably should have recognized him when he was teaching them from the Old Testament, but it says there they were prevented from seeing who he was. It's just that this breaking of bread was a thing that they recognized as Jesus having initiated not too much before this. Anyways, let's pray. Father, we love you, and we thank you so much that you sent your son, Jesus. Just thank you for this amazing story, how Jesus appears to these guys and how they take a while to remember or to recognize who he was. I pray, Lord, that we would recognize you in our lives. When you work in our lives, maybe when our hearts are burning because of what we've read in your word, maybe when you give us insight, maybe when you give us opportunities to serve, that we would recognize you in our lives. In Jesus' name.
In a devotional this week, we were looking at a passage in John chapter 6, and it came to mind this morning when I was thinking about communion. So if you could turn to John chapter 6. There, Jesus has fed the 5,000. from a few loaves of bread and a few fish, and the crowds are following him, and they're asking for more miraculous signs so that they might believe, and they've just seen miraculous signs, but still they're asking for more, and they remind him, well, you know, you just fed 5,000, but our forefathers had manna for years in the desert. What sign are you going to show us that we might believe? And in verse 32, Jesus answers them. He said to them, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at that last day. Yeah. They were looking for bread that would sustain them. Jesus was saying, "This is the spirit. I'm the spiritual bread that will sustain you." And just thought of that this morning with communion, how we're going to take bread, but we have the bread of life. And we'll never go hungry. And just how much we value God's grace when we think of what he did for us and the fact that, you know, we're secure. We're secure with him because we'll never have to be hungry or thirsty again. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you today again for the sacrifice that you made for us. That yes, while we were still sinners, you died for us. We didn't deserve it, and we don't deserve it. But because of your grace and your mercy, you extend it to us. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we remember that sacrifice this morning. We remember your grace. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. I'd like to read the first 11 verses. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift of eternal life, for having justified us through your death, by you taking the sin, all of our sin, upon yourself. Thank you for the peace that you give us, the peace of reconciliation, a peace that we could never have or achieve on our own, but it's only through your precious blood, through what you've done for us. We want to thank you for that peace. And I just want to pray that you will guide us and lead us throughout this morning. In Jesus' name.
I'd like to ask Emmanuel if he would come up and share a few thoughts in German with us. And then Lydia, I know that you have a reading that you would like to share with us, if you could come as well. And
es ist schon gesagt worden, dass ich bin gerade der Emmanuel Reis. Und ich bin der Schwiegervater zu Olszewski Willi. Und ich will auch ein Wort lesen, ganz kurz, das wo geschrieben ist in Matthäus Kapitel 26. Matthäus Kapitel 26. Von Anfang nur zwei Verse. Als Jesus diese Rede beendet hatte, sagte er zu seinen Jüngern, ihr wisst, dass übermorgen das Passafest beginnt. Dann wird der Menschensohn an die Menschen angeliefert und ans Kreuz genagelt werden. Da ich hier diese Bibel von vorne betrachtete, und da steht hier geschrieben, Hoffnung für alle. Und das Wort alle hat mir sehr gefallen. Da bin ich dabei und auch jeder, der wo heute hier ist, auch für alle Menschen in der ganzen Welt. Weil Gott es so gesagt hat. Und was hat er gesagt? Er hat gesagt zu Adam und Eva, wenn ihr werdet von diesem Baum essen, werdet ihr des Todes sterben. Und wer glaubt diesem Wort, dem wird Gott helfen, herauszukommen aus dieser Not. Und Gott sei Dank, Jesus Christus ist für mich freiwillig ans Kreuz gegangen und auch für alle Menschen. Verdient habe ich die ewige Hölle. Aus Gnade bin ich nur ihm sein Kind geworden. Und lasst uns auch kurz beten. Jesus Christus, ich danke dir, dass du auch mir dein teures Wort geoffenbart hast durch den Heiligen Geist und dass ich verloren war und du hast mich gerettet und bist freiwillig ans Kreuz gegangen. Und das ist Gnade. Verdienen kann ich nichts. Aus Gnade bin ich dein Kind. Ich danke dir dafür und rette noch viele Seelen, weil du für alle gestorben bist. Amen.
Also leider kann ich nicht Englisch, aber ich glaube, ich fasse es noch, es schaffe noch. In unserer Gemeinde singt die Jugend sehr viel Englisch und auch viel Besuch haben wir und die sprechen auch verschiedene Sprachen. Manches Mal und wir freuen uns. Und so wollte ich auch ganz kurzes Gedicht erzählen in deutscher Sprache. Das kleine Wort warum? Das kleine Wort warum, das fragen wir so oft, wenn es nicht so gekommen ist, wie wir es wohl gedacht. Wir möchten alle gerne bei unserem Heiland sein, doch ging es ohne Trübsal und ohne Angst und Pein. Dann kommen trübe Tage, dann naht Angst und Not. dann wünschen wir uns manchmal sogar den bitteren Tod, nur schneller abzuschneiden, um alles los zu sein. Ja, hatte unser Führer, der treue Jesus Christ, auch einmal nur gefragt, warum muss das so sein? Oh nein, er trug geduldig die größte Angst und Pein. Und weil wir jetzt noch fragen, warum muss das so sein? Das ist, die Liebe fehlt, weil wir uns nicht recht innig mit unserem Herrn vermählt. Sonst könnten wir es verstehen, was Gott tut, das ist gut. Und auch nicht immer fragen, warum er es so tut. Amen.
Got to have a little fellowship with Emmanuel and Lydia the other day, and got to meet Svetlana's parents again yesterday. We're all on a course where we're aging, in a matter of speaking. But as you heard these dear saints, you hear the richness of the grace, the love of God. And that's something that all of us need to pass on to our children. And from what I can see, Svetlana, your parents passed that on to you. And Lily, that's what your parents passed on to you. And those of us who have our children with us, I trust that that's what we're doing too. Breaking bread together is about being family, being children of God. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. When you think of the love of God, how could you measure it? How many of you know the distance between the earth and the moon? How far away is it? Well, I did a little research, 407,000 kilometers. What about the deepest sea? What is the deepest ocean? How deep is it? How many? You're right. Which one is it? I don't know even which one it is, but I know it's 11 kilometers. The Pacific Ocean. 10,924 meters. What's the distance from here to the sun? Anybody know? Pardon me? Just right. Yes, it is. It's perfect. 149,597,900 kilometers. What's the circumference of the earth? Roughly 25,000 miles. That's right. Yeah. Boy, Valdemar, you should be a science teacher. 1 John chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, beloved, John says, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Drawing closer to the Savior, that's what communion's all about. It's drawing closer to the God who loves you and gave His life for you. Whether you're young or you're old, or just right, You know, every child here, boys and girls, I want you to think about this for a minute. You are safe and secure in the love of your parents. Whenever you're hurting, you go to them. Whenever you bunk your head on the edge of the pew, Mommy, Daddy, they comfort you. Whenever you're hungry, whenever someone's hurt you, you go to them. They're simply a picture. We as parents are simply an imperfect picture of the love of God and the deep care and love that He has for us. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's letter to these Ephesians. He spent a couple years with them, discipling them. And he writes them a letter, and he tells them that he loves them. Thank you, Corny, for the passage you read out of Romans. The love of Christ has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Wow, isn't that a difficult concept for us to understand? It's a truth to believe, but it isn't always so evident, is it? Ephesians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul writes, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man." The inner man is that very part of your being that cries out to God, like we read in Psalm 40. It's that very part of your being that gives Him praise, glory, and adoration and thanksgiving for forgiveness and the grace that you've received. It's that part of your being that cries out to God that says, "Lord, I want to love you more. And I can't wait to be released from this body so I can be with you." The inner man, indwelt with the Spirit, prompted by the very revelation of God's Word. All of us have an inner man. Yes, that you be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I was thinking of my wife the other morning, and I heard her sing this song. Sorry. I'll let you put it on the overhead. A song that was, I'll read you the history of this song. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save," a song that we have sung many times over. "He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. And He will rejoice over you with singing." Zephaniah 3:17. Write it down somewhere so you can go and look at that verse and underline it in your word, in your Bibles. Never has God's eternal love been described more vividly than in the words of this great loved hymn. Measureless, strong, evermore endure. The unusual third stanza of the hymn was a small part of an ancient lengthy poem composed in the year 1096 by a Jewish songwriter, Rabbi Meyer, in Worms, Germany. The poem entitled Hadamut was written in the Arabic language. The lines were found one day in revised form on the walls of a patient's room in an insane asylum after the patient's death. The opinion has since been that the unknown patient, during times of sanity, adapted from the Jewish poem what is now the third verse of the Love of God. The words of this third stanza were quoted one day at a Nazarene camp meeting. And in the meeting was Friedrich M. Lehman, a Nazarene pastor who described his reaction. The profound depths of the lines moved us to preserve the words for future generations. Not until we had come to California did this urge find fulfillment, and that at a time when circumstances forced us to hard manual labor. One day, during short intervals of inattention to our work, we picked up a scrap of paper and added the first two stanzas and a chorus to the existing third verse lines. Pastor Lehman completed the hymn in 1917, and his daughter Claudia assisted him with the music. Let's read that first verse. I'd love to have my wife come up and sing it. But then I'd be bawling. My friend Ron Henson would sing it as well. And so I was taking my shower, and I always like to sing songs while I'm showering. And I was thinking of her, and I remember hearing Ron sing it, and I started singing. That certainly didn't sound as beautiful as she would sing it. Got back to the bedroom, and my wife was laughing at me. I don't know why she was laughing at me. Such a profound song. But isn't it a joyful thing to be enthralled with the love of God? The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Next verse. When years of time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Verse 3. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints' an angel's song. May you leave here today enthralled with the love of God for you. May it encourage you and enrich your faith. May it challenge you to draw nearer to your Savior in appreciation. May it challenge you in this coming week to respond with the love of Christ towards those who are not so loving. May it draw a smile to your face as you give thanks for his bountiful love. Call upon the men who are coming to help serve communion this morning. And this is the love of God, In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. Let's give thanks for the loaf. Only bread, a simple emblem, an emblem that speaks of how you sustain us. Without daily bread, we would famish, we would waste away. Without the living bread, the bread that came down from heaven that we read about in John chapter 6, it gives life to all who believe, all motivated by the great love of God for us. We thank you for that bread. We thank you that you sustain us by your Spirit and by your Word. We thank you that you preserved it and that your Spirit reminds us of these truths as you did to Cleopas and his companion as they were traveling on the road to Emmaus. Thank you that that love has been shed abroad in our hearts, as Paul wrote to the Romans. Thank you that it has a depth and width and height that we cannot comprehend, as Paul wrote to the Ephesians. But nonetheless, it's the bread that sustains us and gives us life and joy, peace. And so as we break bread today, as we pass the loaf from one to the other, may you refresh us in spirit, strengthen us in the inner man, and may we leave here rejoicing with the knowledge of sins forgiven and peace with you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'"
Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the blood that Jesus shed. We ask that you help us to let other people know about the redeeming qualities of that blood, the forgiveness that can be found in you through that blood. We thank you for this juice and the symbol that it is. Pray, Lord, that you would work renewal in each of our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the same manner, the Lord Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Let's stand for closing prayer. Father, we thank you again for an opportunity to break bread together as your people, as a local body of believers, part of your church around the world. Men and women around the world, different languages, all awaiting, looking forward to that day when we'll be in your presence. Until then, we pray for daily strength, We also pray, Father, for a daily understanding of your marvelous grace, a greater appreciation so that as we age and that we would become more like you, that people around us would see the change that's taking place day by day. Help us as parents to love our children. Help us as husbands to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Help us as wives to respect our husbands. Help us, Lord, to be your people in this coming week. Help us to have a concern for the lost, to share your marvelous grace with them, that they too might receive sins forgiven and eternal life by simply believing in you. Thank you again for each one here. Go with us as we go to our respective homes and be with our families. May we have a day of joy, reflection. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet each other with a holy handshake and have a great day.